Lamentations chapter 3. That'll be our text this morning. So turn with me, if you would, to that passage, Lamentations chapter 3. Lamentations is a little book in the Old Testament that follows the book of Jeremiah. Lamentations chapter 3. My subject this morning is the believer's hope. That's a good word, hope. Or we could call it the hope of eternal life. They are one and the same. The believer's hope is a hope of eternal life. The Hebrew word for hope is pronounced tukalith, and it means expectation. Our English definition defines hope as a feeling of expectation and a desire for a certain thing to happen. Another definition for hope is defined as the grounds for believing that something good may happen. I like that. I like for good things to happen. It's a feeling of trust. And some of the synonyms for hope are longing and craving and hankering. I thought that was a Southern word, but turns out that it's not. Hankering, anticipation, yearning, eagerness. So I think a very good question for each of us to ask ourselves this morning would be, what is my hope? What is my hope? Or maybe even more correctly asked, who is my hope? In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, Paul speaks about a time when every believer was without Christ. He said, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. See, to be without God is to have no hope. And I read about some in the Bible, even called disciples, that went back and turned away and walked no more with the Lord Jesus. I read about Judas, a dear friend of the Lord for 3.5 years, walked with him, talked with him, lived with him, who sold out the Lord Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. I read about a man named Demas who forsook the preaching of the gospel with the Apostle Paul because he loved this present evil world more. I read about two men called Hymenaeus and Alexander, who made a shipwreck, Paul said, of their faith, who Paul said he delivered to Satan that they might learn not to blaspheme. I read about a professing believer named Simon Magus, whose heart was not right with God. John talks about those whom he said they were not of us. They went out from us. And over the years, I have myself seen many who have lost interest in Christ and in His Word. I've seen many leave and depart from the gospel. And that's so alarming to me. For where else can any go? Christ alone has the words to eternal life. But the scriptures warn us to take heed lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. The Apostle Paul is just relentless in encouraging believers to examine themselves, whether they be in the faith, and to prove their own selves not to be reprobates. Paul even had a great concern for himself. You see, preachers are not exempt from guarding their own faith and making their own election sure. Just men. Paul wrote with great concern that when he had preached to others, that he himself should wind up being a castaway. That's very alarming to me. I don't want to have preached to others and myself be lost. So what is my hope in this life? What is my expectation? What is my desire? What do I long for? Well, I certainly long for forgiveness and pardon. I definitely aspire that all my sin be put away. I want remission for my sin. I want exoneration and acquittal for all my offenses against God and His law. I most definitely long for eternal life. I hope and desire to forever be face to face with Christ my Savior. Don't you? Sure you do. And I hanker I hanker forever to be with the one who loved me and gave himself for me, and I have a good hope through his grace and his mercy. Do you have a good hope? Do you have the hope of eternal life? Do you have the hope of forgiveness of sin? Brother Mahan used to say that a believer's hope is somewhere between proud presumption and deadly despair. Proud religious presumption says things like, me and Jesus, we got a good thing going. Proud presumption, religious presumption says, I know I'm saved, and if anybody makes it to heaven, I will. Then on the other side, deadly despair speaks this way. Well, I don't know if I'm saved or not. We'll have to wait until the smoke clears and the dust settles to find out if I'll end up in heaven or not. But I have made my decision and I have cast my vote. But the believer's hope is found somewhere in the middle between presumption and despair. The hope of the child of God is not assuming, not prideful, not self-righteous, nor being overconfident in themselves. The true child of God is not timid, not unsure and wavering. Well, they're confident, but their confidence is in Christ and what Christ has done for them, not what they do for God. Speaking of the believing child of God, one old believer said it this way, God has hedged in his people on one side with precious promises and godly assurance so that they don't despair, having great hope. And then God on the other side has hedged in his elect with warnings and caution so that believers do not presumptuously assume that they're saved apart from believing and trusting in Christ. God's people are neither hopeless nor expectant. They know that salvation is of the Lord and it's at the Lord's discretion. What comfort to know that. They know that there's one way to be saved, that there's only one mediator between God and men, that there's only one substitute and one sacrifice for sin, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. They travel down that narrow and straight path that leads to life, and they're careful not to stray to one side or the other. Christ is the way. Christ is the truth. Christ is the life. And it's in and by and through him that a man comes to God. That's what the Lord Jesus said. The only way is but by me. So, as a believing child of God, what is my hope? Christ is my hope. What is my aim? To trust in him alone. Who is my hope of forgiveness? Christ alone is. What is my expectancy for forgiveness? That he put my sin away. I have confidence in his ability, not mine. I put my faith in his faithfulness, not mine. Who is my hope of eternal life? Christ is. What is my anticipation of having eternal life? That he himself, God in the flesh, died the just for the unjust to bring me to God. And if you trust in Christ, it's the same of you. Now, does a believer, does a chosen child of God have hope that others don't? You better believe they do. Now, in our text here in Lamentations chapter 3, Jeremiah sounds a beautiful note of the gospel. He remembers that time when he was without hope and without God in this world. In verse 18, he said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. Now let me sincerely ask you, have you ever been there? Have you ever been without strength and without hope? You know, that's the starting place for grace. A man or a woman will never have a need of grace, never have a need of Christ until they see that they have no strength or hope. That's just a fact. In verse 19, Jeremiah said, remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall. You see, when I remember the affliction of my sin, when I remember the misery that sin caused me, it brings me great humiliation. The wormwood and the gall here is just a figurative expression of Jeremiah's bitter and grievous afflictions. Now in verse 20, Jeremiah continues and he says, "My soul hath them," speaking of his affliction and misery. He said, "My soul still has them in remembrance," still in remembrance, "and is humbled in me." It's the remembrance of our affliction and our misery of sin that brings the child of God great humiliation. God doesn't help those who help themselves. God helps those who cannot help themselves. God helps those who are afflicted and in misery and need help. You might ask, well, what good does it do to remember our sins, misery, and afflictions? Well, Jeremiah tells us here in the very next verse. Look at verse 21. He says, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope." Like David, our sins are ever before us. My soul has these things still in remembrance. And oh, how humbled I am by them. I'm reminded that I have no power, I have no ability, that I am absolutely helpless when it comes to helping myself. David said, "It's good for me that I've been afflicted, for it's in our affliction that we learn God's statutes." It's in our affliction, it's in our misery that we learn God's statutes. And that word means appointments. In our affliction, we learn the appointments of God's grace and God's mercy for our misery. So in that sense, it's a good thing. And it's good for me. It's that which gives me hope. My helplessness gives me hope because that's who God helps, the helpless and the hopeless. It was this affliction and misery that Jeremiah called to mind that gave him hope. Now, there are four things here that the prophet calls to mind and four things that gave him great hope. I pray that God will cause them to do the same for us. I want you to leave here this morning with hope, a great hope, a hope of eternal life, a hope of eternal salvation. Let's look at them together. The first thing is found in verse 22. It's the Lord's mercies and compassions. Look at it. "It's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not." Oh, I could just camp out right there for a while. That's speaking of eternal life. That's speaking of life everlasting. Jeremiah says, we're not consumed because of the Lord's mercies. And friends, that's the only reason we're not. You see, we're guilty. God's law pronounces us guilty. "And the soul that sins, it shall die." How many times have you heard me tell you? The wages of sin is death. We're not going to escape God's law in and of ourselves. But it's the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. It's the Lord's mercies that God's wrath and judgment don't fall upon us and forever send us to hell. We're not consumed because the Lord's compassions for us, the Lord's mercies to us, never fails. Now, pretty much everything I do fails, but not him. Jeremiah's hope of eternal life was not based on his merit, but on God's mercy. Jeremiah's hope of eternal redemption was not based on his love for God, but on God's love and compassion to him. And isn't that what John said? He said it pretty plainly and pretty straightforwardly. He said, "We love him because he first loved us." His compassions fail not. His love never fails. Our hope of salvation is not based on morality, our morality, but it's based on God's mercy. And Jeremiah said, "When I call this to mind, I have hope." It's the Lord's mercies and the Lord's compassions that give me this hope. Hope of forgiveness, hope of pardon, hope of life eternal, hope of heaven's glory, hope of being forever with Christ. And there's no hope in my merit. There's no hope in my works. But there's a sure hope in God's mercy. That's what Paul said. He said, "Which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil." In Psalm 51, David said the same thing that Jeremiah is saying here. David said, "Have mercy upon me, O Lord, according to thy loving kindness." not according to my works or my love for you, but according to your love for me, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, those mercies that don't fail. He said, blot out my transgressions. And if he doesn't, they won't get blotted out. Oh, that sinful, wretched publican. I can see him there in the back of the temple. The Pharisees up front making a big show. Lord, I thank you. I'm not like other men. I do this and I do that. And me and Jesus got a good thing going. The publican wouldn't even raise his eyes unto heaven, but looked down and he beat on his chest as to say, Lord, take this stony heart. Be merciful to me, the sinner. That's the source of our hope, friends. Knowing who and what we are. And when I recall to mind what I am, I have hope. You know why? Because Christ came into the world to save sinners. And a sinner being what I am makes salvation something that I actually qualify for. You know, in this life, I don't qualify for much. But being a great sinner, I qualify for God's grace. And so do you. I'm calling to mind God's mercies. God delights to show mercy. God is plenteous in mercy. Christ came to seek and to save that which was lost. God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet what? Sinners. Christ died for us. Christ didn't die for good people. Christ didn't die for moral people. Christ didn't die for righteous people. Christ died for sinners. Christ died for the ungodly. This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It's the Lord's mercies that I'm not consumed. The mercy and compassion that God has for chosen sinners, it never ends and it never fails. And that brings me to the second thing that gives the child of God great hope. Are you interested? It's the Lord's faithfulness. Look at verse 23. They are new every morning. His mercies, his compassions, new every morning. And then he says, great is thy faithfulness. God's love and mercy and grace is everlasting. His love, mercy, and grace lasts forever. That's what that means. You know, I'm not too smart, but I figured that out. If he ever loved me, he loves me still. Whom he loves now, he always loved. And he will always love. His love is new every morning. You know, no matter how often I fail him, and I fail him, oh, thousands of times a day, no matter how much I disappoint him, and I can assure you it's a lot, no matter how many times I fall, and it's a bunch, his love is new every morning. Great is his faithfulness. Not mine, his. And if our redemption was based on our faithfulness, we'd have a very good reason to fear and be full of doubt. But we don't, because it's God that's faithful. Great is his faithfulness. Great is my unbelief, but great is his faithfulness. Great is my unfaithfulness, but not his. He has no unfaithfulness. He's faithful. He's the Lord. He changes not. Therefore, we, the sons of Jacob, are not consumed. God is faithful to his purpose. Whom God foreknew, God did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. Listen, God is faithful. Because whom God did predestinate, he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. You know what that means? God is faithful. He's faithful to his purpose. He's faithful to his word. He's faithful to his promises. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He cannot fail. He cannot deny himself. The foundation of God standeth sure. Have this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are his. God is faithful to his Son. Christ said, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And he that cometh to me, I'll in no wise cast out. That's being faithful. He's faithful. This is the will of him that sent me, that of all that he hath given me, I will lose nothing. Not a one. Now that's faithfulness. Beloved, when I call this to mind, I have great hope. God is merciful and compassionate to sinners, and God is faithful. God's not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. And that word repent means to change. God didn't change his mind. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Hath he not spoken, and shall he not make it good? We tell folks, we say, you know, I'll make that good. I'll make that good. Well, I hope that we do, but sometimes we're not able to. But he is. He's always able to make it good. Because he's merciful and compassionate. Because he's faithful. Great is his faithfulness. And then thirdly, I have great hope because the Lord is my portion. Now listen, you need to just wrap yourself up in this. Verse 24, the Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I what? Hope in him. The Lord is our life. The Lord is our provider. That's what the word portion means. The Lord is our nourishment. The Lord is our salvation. The Lord is our inheritance. The word portion means allotment. The Lord Jesus Christ is my allotment. The word means smoothness of the tongue. I thought about that a lot. The word actually means flattery. You think about that. God has good things to say about me because Christ is my portion. Is that not mercy? When God said, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, let me tell you something. He was talking about me too. He was talking about you, child of God. God's tongue no longer pronounces wrath, judgment, and condemnation against his elect. He speaks mercy and he speaks compassion that never fails. He speaks smooth things of love that are new every morning. And this I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. Salvation's not a thing, salvation's a person. I wish folks could figure that out. Salvation is an experience, but an experience is not salvation. And people talk about pardon, but they don't know the God who pardons. Men today preach about grace, grace here, grace there, but they don't preach the God of grace. They preach what man does to earn and deserve and to merit grace, but they don't preach God the giver of grace or Christ the gift of grace. They tell you that sinners are saved by grace through faith, but they tell you that they worked it up and that they worked it out. They worked out the grace and the faith. Not so. Salvation is the gift of God, and it's not by works, lest any man should boast. You're not going to be able to boast in your salvation because it's of the Lord. The Lord is my portion. He's the vine, we're the branches. Without him, we can do nothing. Christ is the head, we're the body. Listen, he won't be in heaven and leave us behind. You can't separate the head and the body and there still be life. He said, I go prepare a place for you. He said, where I am, you shall be also. Now that's good enough for me. If it were not so, he said, I would have told you so. You see, the Lord is merciful. The Lord is compassionate. The Lord is faithful. And then fourthly, the Lord is good. Look at verse 25. The Lord is good unto them that wait for him, to the soul that seeketh him. The Lord is good to them that wait on him. The Lord is good to them that seek him. Why is that? Because those that seek the Lord's mercy, those that seek the Lord's person, they do so with a great need. And we come full circle. Sin seeks forgiveness. Guilt seeks grace. Misery seeks mercy. We seek the Lord because we need him. Like blind Bartimaeus, we need mercy. Isn't that what he said? Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. That woman with the issue of blood, 12 long years. I don't know how much money she had. We're not told. I know how much she had after she got done with the doctors. None. She spent all she had, and all she got in return was more pain, more suffering, more grief. But she said in her own mind, in her heart, she said, if I can just get to him, if I can just find him, if I can just but touch the hem of his garment, I'll be made whole. She was seeking him because she needed him. Did you hear me?
Do you need him?
I do too, brother. We seek Christ and we come to him because we need him. Do you see your need of Christ? A seeking sinner comes to Christ out of need. Those that are well have no need of a physician. But let me tell you, those that are sick, those that are dying of leprosy, those who are decaying away in their sin, they need mercy. They need healing. Are you willing to wait for the great physician? I always get a little irritated when I got a 10 o'clock appointment at the doctor and I don't get called back till 10:30. And then they stick you back in that little cold room and you sit there for another 15 or 20 minutes. Why not just make my appointment at 11 and let's get her done? But Christ, our great physician, oh, he's worth waiting for. He's a specialist above all others. He has the cure for sin. There was no cure for leprosy in the Bible times. Yes, there was. Yes, there was. I take that back. The leper said, I know you can. I know you can heal me, but will you? And he said, I will. And immediately he was healed. Oh, there's a cure for leprosy, and he has the cure. He has the words of life. I want to do business with him. That's an appointment I'll wait for. I want to hear him say, rise up and walk. I want to hear him say, thy sins be forgiven thee. Same thing. Same thing. One who has a desperate need will wait on the one who truly has the cure. A sick man or woman will wait on the one who is the only source of mercy. There's just one who has the mercy that you and I need. And you'll be glad to wait on the only physician that can heal you. Look at verse 26. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord. When God reminded Jeremiah of his misery and his affliction, he recalled the Lord's mercies, he recalled the Lord's compassions, recalled the Lord's faithfulness to him, and it gave him great hope. Let's recall those things for ourselves. When Jeremiah recalled the Lord's goodness to him, his word, his promises, his people, it gave him hope like no other. And when Jeremiah was reminded that the Lord was his portion, he committed his soul to him. No sinner has ever perished knocking at the door of mercy. No sinner has ever perished casting themselves at the feet of Christ. Not one. Not one. Now, let me finish by quickly telling you two ways that you know if you have a good hope. First, a good hope is a hope that can be explained. Peter says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. If someone asks you, are your sins forgiven? What's our answer? Oh, yes. Yes. Let me tell you the reason of my hope. Let me tell you how they're forgiven. Christ died to put them away. If someone asks, do you believe that you're one of the elect of God? Yes, I do. Let me tell you why I have hope that I am. Do you believe that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life? Absolutely. Let me tell you why I have hope in that. We're ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that is in you. That's one way you'll know. And secondly, the second reason is a good hope always rests entirely on Christ. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Paul told Timothy, he said, I'm an apostle of Jesus Christ, who is my hope. Paul said, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And then he said, I thank God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. That's who can deliver me. That's where deliverance from sin comes from Christ. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. Well, where are you going to get the perfect righteousness that God requires? Only one place to get it, Sharon. Perfect righteousness is the only thing that can deliver me from this body of death. You can only get it in Christ. This I recall to mind, therefore I have hope. He has made unto us righteousness, wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. By his obedience, many shall be made what? Righteous. We are made the righteousness of God, where? In him. This I recall to mind. Therefore have I hope. Well, are you feeling helpless and hopeless? this morning. I know where you can find help. I know where you can find great hope. You can find it in the Lord's mercies. You can find it in the Lord's compassions. You can find it in Christ, the Lord's portion. You can find it in the Lord's promises. And you can find it in the Lord's person. That's where you find it. And these things, my soul, glory be to God, still has remembrance of, and they continue to humble me. These things I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. May God be pleased to continue to make it so, for Christ's sake.